Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and this Friday and Sunday, Friday night at 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 2:30, one of the great, until recently undiscovered in this country, operas is going to be offered by Madison Opera at the Overture Center for the Arts. And the title character is right here with me, Emily Brisson. Welcome back to the Midday.
Thank you so much.
You get to play a water sprite in this fairy tale like opera, Rusalka. And would you call this relatively a lyric role for you?
Yes, definitely. This is really lyric singing. But what's fun about it is I get to play a non-human character for most of it, and so you can kind of define what that means for in the drama. And so having kind of a more silvery tone on top of a lyric sound is I can tap into that.
Ooh.
To try to make that ethereal quality happen. Because she really, I mean, so many coming from the tone poem, you know, compositional style, that you can really hear that impressionistic water music, and it's so fun to kind of sing into that as a chamber music singer, you know, to really kind of take some of those colors and play with it as a technical perspective.
One can only imagine then what the costume would be like.
Oh, there are a couple costumes, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're very gauzy and kind of fun,
uh-huh.
Very fun. And
you're not a mermaid.
No. So when the director, actually, we got to talk before our rehearsal started, and she had done a lot of research on who Rusalki were and what they were. And so, yeah, some of the folklore in Czech folklore is that they are actually women that have suffered horrible deaths near bodies of water, and they're kind of there with their sisters, and they can come out of the water, and they have legs, and they can
right.
they
that's,
can go in and out of the water.
That's a very useful part for your purposes.
Right, it's nice. They're not the most comfortable on land. That you know they do get their energy from water, but so you see her kind of coming out every once in a while, and I get to do that. But when Yezhi Babo turns her into a human, she's really not comfortable with real human legs. I mean, and that's kind of fun to play with. So it's been a very physical role to do the rehearsals. And
do you have any idea why it took this opera so long? I mean, Dvorak wrote it in 1901. It was actually quite popular in Europe.
Right.
At that time. But what, 1975 or something before it came to this country?
Right. I don't think it got very popular in Europe. From Catherine's talk at the Opera Up Close yesterday, she did a wonderful lots of research on all the operas he was writing and why they didn't really gain a lot of recognition outside of the Czech Republic, and so I don't think they came to the U.S. because of that, because they were very well received, but just weren't widely performed around Europe.
And that's what, I mean, Dvorak, who was a very popular composer, spent, a year or more in this country.
In Iowa, right?
Yeah, right, Spillville, Iowa, and New York. And
mm-hmm.
was very popular, spent his last, roughly decade concentrating on 9 operas, but for whatever reason, just didn't become well known for those.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that this story is one of the best of any of his stories. I think he wrote an Armida, too. But I think this story, it has a lot of depth to it. And the way that we've added a little bit of more color to the beginning, where in the prologue, she's actually a human. You see her as a human.
Oh, before she gets turned into
a Rusalka. Right. So it is, of the era, a very psychological, deep view on what it is to be human. And kind of the bad and good parts of it, you know, that humans sin and humans hurt each other, and it's maybe better to be a Rusalka.
that's one way of looking at it, yes, and there's a prince involved.
Right, of course, and it's such a, the way that Dvorak writes the prince's role, it's very Helden tenor-y, you know,
mm-hmm.
Wagnerian,
mm-hmm.
and his music is very human in a way, kind of angular and but then at the end has such a beautiful long line. So it really requires a gorgeous voice, and John Lindsay does an amazing job at it.
Yeah, and when we say lyric, that means, I mean, it is, you don't have a mad scene.
Right.
You know, it's a relatively gentle opera.
Right.
But tuneful.
It's so tuneful, and you hear her theme come back over and over and over again. But then she has other themes that, you know, define her character, the kind of rumbling of the water. And it's that's doom kind of getting her. And so I do actually feel she has a mad scene, but it's in Act Two when she is mute. And
whoa, that's got to be a challenge.
So it's an acting challenge to be able to, you know, kind of portray a high note of a mad scene with your eyes, or portray it with your body, or as just an actress, as coming from, you know, training in acting and training in singing, but always having it kind of be together. In Act Two, I am just an actress.
Go back to silent film technique.
Of course, yes.
It's
and it's almost dance, too.
Yeah.
Dance and silent film technique. So making high notes with your eyes is something I've been definitely rehearsing.
Fun thing to practice, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, not something you'd want to practice just in a coffee shop, people.
No, it's a little too mad, I think, for a coffee shop.
The big highlight for most people in this opera is, of course, the Song to the Moon, which comes early in the opera. It comes in Act One.
Right so away.
One of the climaxes of the opera. And this Song to the Moon, you are hoping for love.
Right. I've asked Vodnik, who I call Daddy. I think he's just the, you know, the head of all the water people. But I've asked him, what can I do? I don't want to be here. I want to be a human. And he, you know, he doesn't really listen. He says, no, you don't want to be a human. And so I'm kind of having a teenage fit after he leaves, and I see the moon, and I say, maybe the moon will have the power to help me, and that this is my plea. Please, you're watching over him as well as watching over us, and tell him that I'm with him, and I'm holding him, and I you know, it's that connection through nature, I think, is a pretty powerful thing.
Water and moonlight.
Yes.
Yeah, very romantic stuff. Well, yes. Here it is in a version sung by Renee Fleming as Rusalka, the Song to the Moon from that opera by Dvorak. Famous Song to the Moon in an opera that, in case it's not apparent, it's through composed, isn't it? I mean, it just kind of flows all the way through. It's not like there's a big scene or a big aria and everything kind of stops. It just flows.
Right, and right at
like
the end
water.
At the end of the opera, she's putting her hand in the water, at least in our production, and she feels that it's cold for a reason, and that's Yejibambo showing up. So it flows right into the next scene, and no chance to really soak it in until later.
But this does require, you were saying, as you weren't singing along by any means, Emily. Mm-hmm. Emily Bresson is singing this role, Rusalka, with Madison Opera this weekend. But some really fine points that would, I think, elude most of us in terms of what you have to do to make your voice work in this context, to be heard over the orchestra on the one hand, and it's got a lot of lows in it, but also this sort of, you need a sort of a childish quality to it.
Right. I was just talking about like what Renee, we were listening to how beautiful Renee sings it, and the quality you need to have almost a silvery quality to the top of your voice to cut over the orchestra, so you don't ever have to feel like with this you have to sing through the orchestra. And that's really the warm tones of your voice. That won't cut through the top of it. So you have to have both. And
all of that.
Yeah.
It must be quite the rush when you think about it all, because, I mean, just acting alone, being on stage with a lot of, you know, people watching your every move.
Right.
Everything
right.
you say.
Right.
But then on top of that, you have the whole orchestra, and you have the voice, the singing part of it. I mean, and so right. You're putting it all out there,
right.
And it must be quite exhilarating to go over the top with it all.
Yeah, it's a challenge and a collaboration on everyone's part. I think if you're not getting the right perfect tempo that you wanted from the conductor, or if you something goes wrong dramatically, you have to almost let go and live the character when you're on stage, and it is exhilarating, but you almost have to get lost in it and not think about the fact that people are there, and just think about embodying the character and doing your plan technically, and hope that the people in the audience will join you in it.
We have to be, as some people say, in the zone.
In the zone, yeah. Zen, very zen. It's a hard place to be zen when you're singing something so challenging.
I would think so, yeah. Well, we have another excerpt from the opera here, and we've talked about witches.
Yeah.
And I think this involves one. Does this have to do with your transformation?
Right. So Yezhi Babo has, right after the Song to the Moon, Yezhi Babo, the witch, has been summoned and, kind of feels something in the water. And she can't see me until I get out of the water. So she helps me get out of the water. And I just tell her, all the Rusalki are afraid of you, but I'm not. And I want to be a human. And so she's kind of taken aback by how much confidence and determination Rusalka has to be a human, and why. And so she finally agrees, and this is her incantation to make me a human. There are some, stipulations behind it, but, that out until Act Two.
Gotta read the fine print in the contract.
Right,
it's
right.
Some pretty dire stuff there.
Right, exactly.
But all because you're in love with a prince.
Right. I want to be a human. I want to have a human soul, I think, is the main point, really. It's definitely about the prince, and she's drawn to the prince, but I think she's fascinated with the human soul, and she longs to have that again.
Is it a spoiler alert here to say the prince is maybe not the best guy for her?
Well, it doesn't work out exactly how she thought it was going to work out. So, I won't spoil it for you.
All right, but in the meantime, here's the transformation. Again, the opera is seamless, and so we have to create our own seams just for the sake of giving you some excerpts there. And Rusalka, a story that at first glance you would think, oh yes, kind of Hans Christian Andersen, but it's actually, I think, a very old idea that both Andersen and then Czech writers picked up, and there are similarities among all of them.
Right, right. These Rusalki were very mysterious creatures.
And do you have any regrets at all that you're just singing this twice? Get into all that effort to get, just the nuances of the character and the part?
Yeah, I always do, yeah. I think after 8 performances, you finally feel like, oh, okay, now I have a grasp on it. Mm-hmm. But our rehearsal process has been very thorough and in-depth, and with Keturah as the director, we've had a lot of amazing discussions that sometimes doesn't happen in rehearsal, so... It's been really fun.
And will continue to be.
Yeah,
those definitely. 2 performances, Friday night, that's April 26th at 8, and Sunday, April 28th at 2:30 Overture Hall in Madison. It's Madison Opera. There's a pre-show talk 1 hour prior to each of those performances, and the opera will be sung in Czech with those handy English super titles over the stage. And singing the title role has been my guest again today, Emily Bresson, for must be about your 3rd visit. Oh, and before we forget, you're going to be back on the stage in Madison with
Madison Symphony.
Yeah,
Mahler 8.
That's right.
Yeah, in about 2 weeks.
You're one of the 1,000.
Yes, one of a thousand.
One of the most prominent. That's the weekend of May, 3rd, 4th, and 5th?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, coming right up. So you have a full week ahead of you.
Yes, okay. And in my favorite place.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Norman.
Always a pleasure.